It's time to Fade the Chalk.
Fade the Chalk.
Presented by the FTN Network, helping you win your fantasy leagues and dominate in DFS. And now, here are your hosts, Derek Brown and Adam Pfeiffer.
It's time to break out the money dance. Welcome back to Fade the Chalk podcast, brought to you by the FTN Network. I'm your host, D-Bro, and joined, as always, by my co-host, Adam Pfeiffer. It's DFS game by game time, baby! Woo-hoo-hoo! Let's go, man! We have another fantastic guest from FTNDaily.com on this episode. But before we introduce him, Adam, how are you doing, man? You ready to break all this down?
So I'm as ready as anybody could be, or in a better way to put it, the opposite of how ready Jonathan Taylor and Jordan Wilkins were at the goal line last night.
Let's
put
it that way. Ooh, man!
It was real
my
bad.
Showdown lineups lament what you just said, although I did have a little bit of Naheem Hines. Not enough, unfortunately, but I did have some.
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. It's Friday. I got bowling tonight. I'm sure you'll make fun of me about that shortly. listen, man, I'm up to like a 160 average now, so things are heating up.
Well, we're talking about limbering up, stretching, getting ready for Money Dance and MC Hammer time, man. I mean, I'm sure I don't want you to pull a muscle or, you know, throw your back out.
Dude, and I got flag football tomorrow morning, too, so I'm just...
Oh, God, you're going to be on the IR before Sunday. It's coming, dude.
Sunday morning, I'll be waking up answering questions, and I'll just be struggling to get to my desk, so...
Well, I mean, you do have youth on your side, so everybody is not aware Adam is only 12 years old. So, I mean, he's got all the energy in the world to get. We got to introduce our fabulous guest this week. You can find him on Twitter at KMURRDFS, Kyle Murray. He is over at FTNDaily.com doing all kinds of awesome work. This is the man, the myth, the legend behind our ownership projections weekly. He runs a weekly video. It's called Murray's Model. It is fantastic where he walks through his process, everything. Kyle, what's going on, man?
What's up, guys? I appreciate you having me. It's been fun talking about some football with you each Friday night on our show and doing all the stuff that we do over at FTN Daily. And I'm pumped to be one of your fabulous guests that you guys have been having. The guest list that you guys have had this year has been awesome. So I'm excited to be the next one on that list. And I got some big shoes to fill because you guys have had some pretty big names. But, yeah, I'm pumped to get into this show and talk some football with you guys.
Yeah, no stress, dude. You're just the man. Yeah, you know, Kevin Adams, he was on last week. Regretfully, I was dealing with all kinds of life stuff, so I missed the show. But, yeah, I mean, it's big shoes, dude. But you got size 11s yourself. I think you're going to be fine here, man. Like, this is going to be a fabulous slate to break down. I think there's a lot of really interesting games. So without further ado, man, let's dive into this. The first game is the Washington Footballs are heading to Detroit. The line is set. Detroit is favored by 4. The over-under is at 46.5. Kyle, do us the honor, man. What do you think about this game?
Yeah, I think this game's got a couple of sneaky spots from a fantasy perspective. So on the surface, doesn't look like it's going to be too exciting of a game. But there are two names that pop out, one guy on each side of the football here. Antonio Gibson, for me, is a key play for me in DFS this week. I love the matchup. I'm loving his increase of involvement each and every week, and the price on DraftKings is right. He's 5,600 on DraftKings, and he's only 6,100 on FanDuel, so I can get behind both those prices, and I'm showing him at pretty low ownership. He's sub 5% on both sites, which I think is strange. I wasn't really expecting that. He was coming off of a decent week a few weeks back against Dallas, and I think that his trend has been continuously positive, so I'm surprised to see his ownership continue to be low. I know we have a couple of value guys that are going to keep the rest of these value guys down in terms of ownership, but I still am surprised of where his ownership is, and I think he's a very strong play. And then on the Lions side of things, I think T.J. Hockenson's a very sneaky play. I'm assuming Kenny Galladay is going to be out or at least trending towards the wrong side of questionable. So with him potentially being out again, Marvin Jones is a guy who, you know, he's supposed to step in, but in games where he's really stepped up, I know I don't want to talk too much
about
Marvin Jones because I know that's Adam's guy. Hey, I'm from Michigan, so I should like Marvin Jones a bit, and I don't mind him. I think he's a good price on DraftKings. I mean, I would prefer to play Danny Amendola, who's, you know, $1,300 mm-hmm. less. But Hockenson, I think, is sneaky. I don't like his price at all. I think he's too expensive, And I think it's a little murky when you talk about that. But with his ownership being extremely low and with tight end being a position where if you're going up in that range at all, you're going to be hitting some chalk with Darren Waller, I think he's a good pivot. And, you know, over the last 3 weeks, his target market share is over 20%. He's the red zone guy there with no Kenny Galladay. So I think Hockenson and Gibson are the two guys that I'm looking at in this one.
Yeah, I agree with you. Adam, before I spit some Hockenson love, look, I know he showed up. He's back at practice today as we're recording this. He showed up. He was at DNP on Thursday with a toe issue, which is the first time I've seen anything mentioned. I could be wrong in saying that. But any other plays before I give you the love letter on TJ Hockenson in this game for you?
Yeah, so I want to reiterate, I guess, Kyle's love for Antonio Gibson. I like him a lot, too. So, like, J.D. McKissick's been – we've talked about him a lot. A lot of people have talked about him. He's a great fantasy option just in, you know, in general in like PPR leagues and season long, but I probably won't play him in DFS where he's priced. But like, he's obviously been the main receiving back, but in games where Washington's been able to get a lead, Gibson's been the guy. I mean, the last time they had a significant lead was the Dallas game and he had 20 carries. I think they could, even in Detroit, be at least ahead or, you know, within striking distance of this game to where they don't have to go to J.D. McKissick. And, like, it's not like Antonio Gibson isn't going to get targets. I mean, 36% of Alex Smith's pass attempts are behind the line of scrimmage this year. It's obviously a bit of a smaller sample size, but we know that's kind of who he's been throughout the majority of his career. So when Gibson's on the field, like, he's going to be able to get targets, especially because this passing offense is Terry McLaurin and the running backs. So I like Gibson a lot. Detroit, fourth most receiving yards per game allowed to running backs. The most receiving touchdowns per game to running backs. I also like Terry McLaurin. I mean, he's just so good. These Lions corners really don't have a shot against him, and he's first in the NFL in air yard percentage. Will Alex Smith take shots down the field? Not at a huge rate, but like, it's not like Kyle Allen was either. So, yeah, I like McLaurin and Gibson a lot. And then for Detroit, yeah, it's really only Hockenson for me because I can't trust the running backs. And like what Kyle said, like, tight ends are already bad enough, but then you take Travis Kelce off the slate. He's on a bye. And then, like, even if you wanted to play, like, a Mark Andrews, he's not on the main slate. So it's like, if you look at the main slate at tight ends, it's really bad. I mean, it's Waller and Hockenson at the top, and then it's, you know, if you're going up to that range, most people are just going to go to Waller. But Hockenson has had a nice floor. He's had 50 yards or a touchdown in every game.
Well, and my whole thing with this game is, like, I agree with everything y'all have stated. I think this game is really narrow for me. I love TJ Hockenson. All we need is good reports, man. The dude has been getting just immense, like, elite usage. And I know Kyle brought up his price on DK. I mean, I don't really have a problem with it because, yes, it's higher for the tight end position, but overall, considering what his usage has been over the last few weeks, like, this dude is quietly fifth in the NFL, the entire NFL, in red zone targets against a team that there is no other team that's literally any worse than the Washington Footballs against guarding the tight end. Like, they're 32nd in DVOA. They can't guard the position. We know where the targets are going to go for Detroit. Yes, Amendola's in play, but Hockenson and Marv are probably going to get the lion's share of it. No, you know, bad pun. But Marv has got a really bad matchup outside. Like, Kendall Fuller, he's going to see a good bit. And Kendall Fuller has been ridiculously freaking good this year. Like, 10 receptions on 22 targets, no touchdowns, and 4 interceptions. He has an 18 passer rating in his coverage. 18! That's insane! So I don't want anything to do with Marv. I know I don't want to hate on him too much or Adam's going to kick me off this call. But I like McLaurin. I like that call a lot. I think the Lions' corners are not something that you need to fear. As well as stating, like, I mean, who else are they going to throw the freaking ball to, man? Like, it's going to be McLaurin every single week. Like, you could just lock, set, forget, pencil him in for 8 to 10 targets, regardless of whoever the hell the quarterback is. I like the Antonio Gibson call, and I actually think that Washington has a shot to win this game.
I don't think they have a shot to win it. I think they should be, like, maybe not the driver's seat. So you're surprised
that the Lions are favored here?
No, I don't want to say that because the Lions are at home, but, like, I don't. Like, I wouldn't say, like, the Washington football team has a shot to win. I think they should be looked at as, you know, a team that could easily win this game.
I think this game should be a pick 'em. Like, I think the Lions should be closer than what it is. I think Washington can absolutely win this game. And if they're winning this game, we know that Detroit cannot stop the run. Like, we've seen running back after running back after running back that is not dusty and actually can, like, has talent. destroy them on the ground. We've seen Antonio Gibson's upside when they have given him the volume. And for all the J.D. McKissic love this week, I think, like, I'm not really surprised that Gibson's not getting a ton of love. But on a slate that overall, the running back options, like, can we say, guys, that, like, this is a slate where the running back options are not just amazing, where you're just like, oh, I can't decide who I'm going to play because it's this guy, it's this guy, it's this guy, all in smash matchups. Like, I think that running back and tight end for me are extremely narrow this week on the guys that I like and I want to play. And if Gibson is going to be a sub 5% in ownership, I mean, Kyle, am I wrong? Like, are there just a ton of running backs that are screaming at you this week that say, play me, play me?
Yeah, there are a ton of running backs, and that kind of gets me into the point of talking about just lineup construction, because we're talking about how TJ Hockenson feels a little bit expensive, but with some of the guys who are on the slate, like Mike Davis, that we'll talk about at 4K, there's a lot of salary available, and that. So when you're talking about paying up a little bit for a guy to get contrarian, I think Terry McLaurin kind of fits that bill. I have him at about 9% ownership on DraftKings. I feel like he'd be a lot higher than that if his price was still, you know, we saw him flowing in the mid fives for a while there. I think if he was still down, you know, 5K or five in the mid fives and low 6K range, I think he'd be a lot more popular. So I agree with you there. I think there's a lot of good running backs. And that brings me to the point where there's just a lot of money to play with here if you're using those salary plays that a lot of people are.
Yeah, absolutely, man. So moving on to Jacksonville is going to head to Green Bay to take on the Packers. The over-under is set at 51. The Packers are favored by 13.5 in this game. Adam, before we get to anything else on this game, I know there's a little bit of rain, maybe some weather stuff going on here. I got to ask you, man, are you going to make a lineup this week without Aaron Jones in it? Because I don't know if I am.
It'll be hard not to. I mean, I tweeted it out, but I mean, unless the weather is, like, egregiously bad, and look, we saw really bad weather in Green Bay a couple weeks ago when they played Minnesota, and the Packers still kind of did their thing, right? So, like, I'm not too concerned. It's supposed to be, like, maybe 25-mile-an-hour winds, like, cool, but, like, it's not like we're playing, you know, it's not like Davante Adams is a guy that's running a ball. Like, Davante Adams scored 2 touchdowns in that one game, or actually it might have been 3 touchdowns, so I don't care. But, yeah, I mean, the Packers lead the NFL right now with 3.2 points per drive on offense. Jacksonville allows over 3 points per drive on defense, the most in the NFL. So sets up really nicely for Aaron Rodgers and Aaron Jones. And I do my Prize Picks article every Friday on the site. And I took the over on Aaron Jones, and his prop is like 18.5 points. I took the over. I just think there's going to be so many scoring opportunities here. Jacksonville's allowing the third most rushing touchdowns per game. And over the last 3 weeks, it's 2 rushing touchdowns per game. So Aaron Jones has massive touchdown equity. He had 25 touches in his first game back on Thursday night. So yeah, at 7,100, I think he's going to be, maybe outside of Mike Davis, the most popular running back in the slate. I know Kyle's kind of the guy for us in terms of roster percentages, but that's kind of my hunch. The bigger question is, do you pay up for Davante Adams here? Like, you definitely don't have to. He's been so ridiculously good, and I expect him to continue to be so good. That's kind of the bigger question for me. But I think Aaron Jones is obviously a smash play in this spot. And then we got to kind of keep an eye on Jair Alexander. That could really impact this game. He's still in the concussion protocol the last time I checked. Rob Domofsky, who covers the team for ESPN, said that he seems to be trending in the right direction, but it's still up in the air whether he gets cleared or not. It's kind of simple. If he's active, I'm not playing anybody on Jacksonville outside of James Robinson. If he's inactive, I was really encouraged by what I saw from DJ Chark last week with Jake Luton. So I talked about a lot with how bad Gardner Minshew has been in terms of targeting Chark. He had 4 catchable deep targets all year long with Gardner Minshew. And then Chark had 3 catchable deep targets last week alone with Luton, and he had the 73-yard touchdown. Had a 31.5% target share. Like, if Jair Alexander's out, I think Chark, especially with Jacksonville's like 13 or 14-point road dogs, I think Chark is a really solid tournament play again. And then James Robinson. We've seen him produce as a road underdog before. He's getting 20 touches a game. He leads the NFL in opportunity share, and we know how bad Green Bay's run defense is.
So there's a lot to unpack here. Kyle, I'm curious, what are your thoughts on Adams? Are you going to pay up, and where do you see his roster percentage for Adams coming in at versus Aaron Jones in this game?
Yeah, Adam nailed it. I have Aaron Jones as the second highest owned running back right now on the slate. So I have Mike Davis at 57% right now, which is obviously high, but I think that's expected. I just think it'll be higher than that in some smaller contests. But these ownership percentages are based around Millie Maker and large field contests. I have Aaron Jones at about 27%, so much higher than I probably would have expected with all the news about Davante Adams, but with all the salary open, it's pretty easy to get both of these guys, in my opinion. And that's why when I'm looking at Davante Adams, who's at 27%, it's kind of weird to think because these are two guys in the same team, very high priced, and typically we don't see both these guys, you know, lead their positions or be top three in their positions in ownership unless you're looking at stacking these guys. But then I look at Aaron Rodgers' ownership and he's under 5%. So it's a little weird. Oh, sorry, he's at 6%. So it's a little weird to think that maybe the stack isn't getting as much attention, but both of these guys on their own are getting attention. So that's what I'm looking to do. I'm looking to stack this game up a little bit. And Aaron Rodgers is a way that you can get different, in my opinion, while stacking both of these guys, even with Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, we know Aaron Jones is completely viable in a stack because of his involvement in the passing games, guy who's heavily involved in the red zone in terms of, you know, out of the backfield passing work and just throughout the rest of the field. So I really like Aaron Jones a ton. The only issue I have is, A, can I play both of these guys in a lineup with their price tags being so high? So basically, do they have the ceiling to get there with these price tags? And then B, are they going to be too popular for me to play them both together? Because I love both of them. It's tough to decide which one. So I think I'm leaning Aaron Jones a little bit more because of how popular Davante Adams also is. I assumed Adams would be a little bit lower owned because of that massive price tag, but he's not. So I think I'm leaning Aaron Jones. I do think that both of these guys can get there in the same game with these massive price tags because it's such a tight spread offense. Like, if a lot of this production is just going through these two guys, and with Vegas giving them, was it 32 points, I believe, last time I checked. Mm-hmm. So with that being the case, like, if they score four touchdowns, how likely is it that all four of them are through Aaron Jones and Davante Adams? I think the odds are actually pretty high. So,
yeah, and they're even higher because I saw, I believe today, that both Robert Tonyan and Alan Lazard, who may have returned, had a chance to return this week, they didn't practice today. So, like, MVS in potential 25-mile-an-hour winds, it doesn't seem like he's going to get a lot done. And then where else do you go?
I mean, MVS can't catch it inside of a dome. He has problems catching footballs just in general. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, crazy things can happen where MVS scores twice or Mercedes Lewis scores a touchdown. I think partially the reason why Aaron Jones didn't get really involved in the goal line last week was because, you know, his first game back and they didn't want to get him banged up. And obviously they didn't need to. But, yeah, so I think if that were to happen, you know, they score three, four touchdowns, I think I'm confident that Jones and Adams are doing a lot of the work there. So I'm leaning Aaron Jones if deciding between the two because of that hefty price tag on Adams. But again, like we were talking about in the first game with Mike Davis, with some of these other salary options, you have money to spend pretty much anywhere, and there's not a ton of spend-up options. So Adams is going to be one. That's why he's popular, and that's why it's going to be easy to get him in your lineup if you want him.
Yeah, and I like your call on including Aaron Rodgers in a stack and trying to be different, considering what his roster percentage is looking like right now. Because my first lean in breaking down this game was looking at all of those price tags for these players and then looking at Aaron Rodgers' price tag and being like, why the hell do I want to play Aaron Rodgers? We know where the ball is going. You can get 80 to, hell, maybe 90% of Aaron Rodgers by just playing Aaron Jones and Adams and moving on. You know, so I like that call as far as, because Aaron Rodgers has shown us the ceiling. Like, his ceiling is up there with all of the rest of the top quarterbacks on this slate. So if you're trying to get different, I think trying to wedge that in and playing those three guys is a great, great call, Kyle. I like the DJ Chark call. I'm probably, if I'm going to run it back on that on the other side, and Jair is out, I really, really love Chark in here. And this goes not only because of the cornerbacks and things of that nature, because Green Bay outside of Jair does not have a cornerback that can stay with DJ Chark. But Jacksonville, when they get in close, and this is another reason why I don't like James Robinson, although I know that Green Bay gives it up on the ground, I understand that. There are concerns about Robinson, but as far as Chark goes, Jacksonville is third in red zone passing rate right now. And Gardner Minshew, before going out with the injury, what have you, he was second, is still second in the NFL in end zone throws. DJ Chark leads this team in red zone targets. So if they get in close, they like the throw, and they're going to go to DJ Chark. Like, his ceiling in this spot is just as high as it was last week, and we saw him smash.
Yeah.
I'm off of James Robinson, man. Like so I get that he's getting a ton of work, and I get the matchup is good. If Jacksonville gets down in this game, I think that we could see him scripted out. Like, he didn't get a ton of targets. Chris Thompson is back. And outside of that one week where Thompson was out because of COVID, James Robinson, he's losing routes weekly to Chris Thompson.
And so, Luton probably isn't – it was one game, but Luton didn't look to throw to the running backs as much as Minshew had. So it's a fair point.
Yeah, I mean, I just – he's not right now in my single-entry three max. Like, he is not in my running back pool right now. Kyle, what's your thoughts real quick on James Robinson? Are you fading him like I am?
I think he makes some sense in stacks here. I know there is some worry that if the game gets out of hand that Robinson isn't involved. But if you really want to capture a high ceiling with Rodgers and Jones and Davante Adams, especially in a stack, you're going to want somehow Jacksonville to keep up here. And I think if that were to be the case, if this game stays close, Robinson could benefit. You know, we saw it last week, 25 carries. I agree with you. I have the same worry about how often they do pass when they get down near the goal line. But still, the volume is there if the game stays close. And the price actually dropped. He was 7K last week, and he dropped down to 6,600 on DraftKings. So it's a little bit of a weird price drop after a pretty solid game, you know, 99 yards and a touchdown. But I have him at about 9% ownership. So if the ownership stays down, I think I'm going to like him in pairings with my Green Bay stacks because, again, to capture the ceiling, you want that game to stay close. I don't mind Chark either. I kind of accidentally ended up on Chark on Sunday last week because I just was dying to find somebody to bring back that stack, that Houston stack with. And I didn't really like James Robinson last week because he's a little bit pricey and thought he's going to be popular. So I kind of accidentally fell on Chark late, and that ended up working out. But like Adam mentioned, 33% target share last week has actually been what he's been at about the last 3 weeks. So DJ Chark continues to be heavily involved despite the quarterback change. So I say James Robinson or Chark are the guys I'm looking at here.
So moving on to the next game, and we're going to talk about a running back that is right priced around where James Robinson is. And I love it this week. Heading over to this next game, Philadelphia is taking on the New York Giants. The over-under is set at 44.5. The Eagles are favored by only 3.5 in this game. Man, I got a lot of love for Miles Sanders in this game. I think that he is going to get a ton of run in this game, provided that we don't get any kind of weird reports. And against a Giants team that has allowed the most receiving yards to running backs this year and the fifth most receiving touchdowns, Miles Sanders can come back here and smash at 6,400. Like, he has been a three-down workhorse when he has been on the field. Every game that he has had above 77% of snaps, he is running a route on 72% of Carson Wentz's dropbacks. Like, if you look at this guy, how often he's running routes per game, if he had played every game this season right now, he'd be on pace. He'd be second in the NFL in routes run by running backs behind only Ezekiel Elliott. And versus this defense, we've seen Miles Sanders smash against, like, really good defenses. Like, he was on his way to a great day versus Baltimore before he went out. He broke off a long run versus the Steelers. I'm sorry, the Giants are hot trash. Like, yes, the run defense has been good this year, but can Philly and they get Lane Johnson possibly back this week? Miles Sanders could get all the work regardless. And I know I'm kind of burying this a little bit. I love this game from a lot of different perspectives. The Eagles are getting healthier. Jalen Reagor is going to face Isaac Yedem on the outside, who can't stop anybody.
If he plays.
Like this, I like Reagor. I like Sanders. I know Alshon is probably back. He's practicing and stuff. I do not care about the ghost of Alshon Jeffrey. It does not matter to me. I like Carson Wentz. He is massively underpriced on DK. The guy went for over 30 points last time he played this team. I think he could do it again with better weapons around him. And on the other side of the ball, Evan Engram is getting a ton of work, man. Like, I know that I've crapped on him in previous weeks because Daniel Jones is not great, but his target market share is insane, man. Like, over the last 3 weeks, so weeks 7 through 9, 28% of the targets. And now he gets Philly, who have allowed the third most receptions to tight ends, the eighth most yards, and the third most receiving touchdowns. I think this game is really, really straightforward. I think the pace is going to be good. I think that this – I'm actually really surprised that they set the over-under as low as it is because I would be smashing the over in this game. But, Kyle, where do you stand on this game? Are you in love with this game, or are you just kind of like, meh, like the way that the total is kind of sitting, are you more in line with that than the love list that I just spit about all of this?
You know, typically I would be, because I am probably the most anti-Philadelphia Eagles person at FKN, even outside of, you know, Kalachu.
I was about to say, Kalachu might hate him more than you, and he's an Eagles
fan.
Yeah,
I know. I don't know what it is, but I've never liked Carson Wentz. I've never liked the way this offense is ran, nothing like that. So I don't know. Maybe it's just a little bit biased, but I like them this weekend. It's a little bit scary. So I'm with you on Miles Sanders. I think the opportunity is pretty unique here, where he's coming back from an injury. The price is right. So, and potentially the lower ownership. I have him at about 12%, which is higher than I would have thought, and I wouldn't be surprised if that number comes down. Obviously, these numbers continue to update, so if you guys check these out Saturday, Sunday, that's when they'll be the most accurate. But as of the Thursday ownership projections, I have him at 12%, and I think it's a little bit higher than I would have expected, but I still think it's probably too low for a guy with such a strong role at 6,400. Like you mentioned, the Giants have had some bright spots in their defense if you compare, I guess, preseason expectations to what they've actually been doing, but still, they're not good, and Philadelphia should be able to put some points up here. So I like Sanders, and I like Wentz, too. Wentz is just too cheap. Yeah. 5,900 for a guy who does pretty much – he does a lot for the team. You know, he gets some work involved on the ground. They trust him for whatever reason to throw the ball. I wouldn't. I wouldn't even let him touch the ball. But he's 5,900. And I think we could potentially see a pretty good matchup here for Jalen Reagor, who I like a lot. I think Jalen Reagor has a long touchdown in this game. I think Bradberry will be elsewhere, probably dealing with Travis Fulgham, who has been an amazing receiver so far this year. So Bradberry's been known to shadow. Wouldn't be surprised if he follows Fulgham. I'm not sure if you guys have a feeling on that. But I don't think he comes back and shadows the ghost of Alshon Jeffery here. I'd be surprised if he even steps on the field more than those two guys. I would think that'd be pretty – That'd be a mistake, in my opinion, if they played Jeffrey over guys like Fulgham and Reagor, who should be more geared towards their future. So I'm liking Wentz. I'm liking Reagor. I don't even mind Fulgham, and I'm liking Sanders as well. But one of my favorite plays of the slate is Dallas Goedert. You know, he played 53 of 63 offensive snaps in his return, and I think the reason why we didn't quite see a ton of targets is because they were trying to be a little bit careful with him, which it sounds weird to me, because why would they run him out there to block a ton coming off of an injury? But still, the fact that he played, you know, he was only off the field for 10 snaps, I think is encouraging for Goddard. He's only 4,200. I think it's a guy who could potentially lead this team in targets this week, so I'm looking Goddard a lot at that $4,200 price tag on DraftKings. I have him at about 9% ownership right now.
So nice. Basically with Goddard, like, I know Ertz has been terrible when he's played, but you're essentially getting the Zach Ertz role. Yeah. Would you, like, you're essentially getting the Zach Ertz role at 4,200, which is obviously really enticing. I think this game is maybe the most interesting game of the week. It's not my, like, favorite in terms of, like, we'll talk about Buffalo, Arizona and the premium podcast and stuff like that, but there's a lot of interesting moving parts here. So the pace for this game should be nice. The Giants, you look at our pace and situation tool over at FTN Fantasy. The Giants, we know the Cardinals are running no huddle more than anybody. The Giants are second. They're running no huddle 22% of the time. The Eagles are 6th in no huddle rate. So this game should be pretty fast. I really like Sterling Shepard in this game if Golden Tate's out again. Tate didn't play last week for like disciplinary attitude reasons or something. And now he's on the injury report with a knee. So he's questionable, but we saw Shepard last week go back to playing more in the slot. He really doesn't play at all in the slot when Tate and Slayton are active. But last week he was in the slot around 67% of the time. If that is the case again this week and Tate's out, I mean, Darius Slay shadowed Darius Slayton on 89% of the routes when these teams last met. So, like, that could set up a lot of opportunities for Sterling Shepard, especially he scored in that game against the Eagles. We know the rest of the Eagles corners are not exactly, like, I think Nickell Robey-Coleman's a decent corner, but this isn't a good scheme fit for him. So I think Shepard, he's averaging 8 targets a game since Daniel Jones took over as a starting quarterback last year. I think he's a really strong cash play. And then, yeah, Debro mentioned Evan Engram, who last 3 games, he's averaging 5.5 catches, around 52 yards per game and 9 targets. And he's still really fairly priced. So I like the Giants a lot. Devonta Freeman's ruled out again, I think. I don't really want to play Wayne Gallman, although he's been better than people think. You just don't have to play him on this slate. And then, yeah, like, the Eagles receivers will be interesting to see where James Bradberry lines up. Because Bradberry kind of shadowed DeSean Jackson in that game. Obviously, DeSean Jackson offers a lot, even at this point of his career, he offers a different dynamic in terms of speed and everything. So with Jackson out, I wonder if Bradberry does shadow Travis Fulgham. That'll be interesting to see. But yeah, there's a lot of really interesting plays from this game.
40%. I think Fulgham is going to be on, or Bradberry is going to be on Fulgham for around 60, 65% of his routes. That's another reason why it pushes me to Jalen Reagor.
Yeah.
I like your call on Shepard, especially because we'll differ a little bit, because I think Nickell Robey-Coleman, like, he was good for Los Angeles. He's been nothing but terrible since he arrived in Philly. I like the call on Shepard, especially if you're going full game sack and you think this game, which we're talking about, I think this game goes over as far as the total goes. So I'm
what was
I'm
the total again?
Like 44.5.
Oh, I'm smashing the over. I love this
like
game.
That's insane to me. Like, are you on the over as well, Kyle?
Yeah, I think it's a pretty good spot to hit the over here. I'm always worried about over in games with Giants and the Eagles because they're both
Wentz and Daniel Jones will combine for 6 turnovers and ruin everything.
Exactly. We saw it in that game against the Cowboys on Sunday night, how brutal any game the Eagles are in can be. And then the Giants, they put up some points, but still, it can get ugly.
I mean,
so the total's low enough to where I like it, but I don't know how confident I would say.
Daniel Jones in that Week 7 game against the Eagles, it was a 43-point total. It was 22-21. Daniel Jones had a pick and a lost fumble, and Wentz had, I think he had a pick as well. Yeah, he had a pick. So they combined for 3 turnovers, and it still almost got to 44. So I think over 44 is a pretty solid bet.
Yeah, I like it.
All right, guys. So moving on to Tampa Bay is heading to Carolina. The over-under is set at 50.5. Tampa is favored by 5. All right. I mean, it's the question of the week. The question that everybody's talking about, like, do you or do you not play Mike Davis? Kyle, I know you talked about his roster percentage. Lead this off here, man. Are you playing Mike Davis, and how much exposure, like, what are you looking at as far as attacking or fading him in GPPs?
Yeah, so it's tough to play a guy who's just going to be massively popular, but you're playing a guy who is legitimately worth a 7K price tag. We saw it in the first 4 weeks where McCaffrey was out. I know we've seen some down games from him in the last 3 where McCaffrey was out, where Davis went for 8.5, 8.7, and then 12 DK points. But if he puts up 12 DK points here at 4K, I think you're fine with it. So it feels just like a free square to me. So I'll probably just lock in Mike Davis and then move on, because like I mentioned, it pretty much opens up the entire slate. So I guess I shouldn't say lock in. In my main lineups, I think I'll have him in all 3, but when I'm doing MME, I'll probably be around 80% just in case he does bust. I know the matchup's pretty brutal, but still, the usage that he's going to have should be able to overcome any kind of matchup at that price tag at 4K. You really don't need a whole lot for him to hit value. Like, if he gets 16 points, he's at 4X value. That's just how it's that easy for him to hit a tournament-winning score there. So I really like Mike Davis a lot. It's really hard to pass up on that value, even at the massive ownership. There's always merit to fading a guy that's going to be insanely high owned. Like, this is talking about basketball. Like, if James Harden is 80% owned with Russell Westbrook out, sure, it looks like a very tough fade, but there's always merit to fading it. But now Mike Davis is 4K, as cheap as you can go, so I think you just play him and move on.
Yeah, but Kyle, James Harden might be playing without Russell Westbrook the entire season.
That means he'll be 80% owned all season. But
D-Bro's no, like, what the hell is going on in my podcast? Yeah.
Oh, dear God in heaven, what has happened here? I don't even know what to say. Like, is Michael Jordan still playing? What's this other round ball sport you're talking about here?
Shameless plug for our earlier bird package. That's all. My bad.
Absolutely.
I mean, dude, if people are not in that already at FTN Daily, I don't know what the hell they're doing. They need to get over there, get signed up for NBA. Our guy has crushed it all year. But back to the Mike Davis, love or hate. Adam, where do you stand?
I mean, if you're playing cash, I don't know how you don't play him. As at worst a block. In tournaments, though, I mean, Kyle alluded, I think he said he has him projected around 60% roster percentage, which is obviously massive. And if he has like a 10 or 11 point fantasy day, like, it's whatever. But like, you could gain a potential edge if you go, a little bit higher to somebody like Duke Johnson we'll talk about, or someone like that, or just don't play him or just don't play anybody in that range in general. So, yeah, it's going to be really the headline of the slate as to whether you play Mike Davis in tournaments or not. I mean, I'm probably not going to because I play a lot of tournaments. There's no way I don't think I'm going to just come out and full fade Mike Davis. Like, he's probably going to catch 6 passes in this game. he'll get 15 touches at worst. And the matchup's bad, but we've seen running backs have a lot of success in the passing game. I mean, Mike Davis did it in like 30 snaps when McCaffrey got hurt when these teams first met. He had 8 catches in like 30 snaps. So a lot of that was in like garbage time when the Bucs were playing prevent defense. But Tampa Bay, coming off that awful loss, they could be ahead in this game too. So yeah, this Mike Davis is the obvious like only set in stone option for this game. The rest of this game is so tricky because you have the Carolina receivers who... Robbie Anderson's the lead, and DJ Moore's been terrible in terms of target totals, but it's a bad matchup. I think Carlton Davis popped up in the injury report, so I'll double-check on him. But then you have the Tampa Bay receivers who knows, right? I mean, I'm encouraged by Mike Evans moving into the slot more the last couple weeks. Last game, he was in the slot around 45% of the time. They appear to be moving him inside more to get him more involved, which is nice, but do you really want to play any of his receivers in this spot? Because, like, none of them are priced like to where that you have to play them. I mean, Godwin's 6K, Evans is 6,300, Robbie Anderson 6,100. I have a sneaky feeling that DJ Moore has a big play in this game, but like I don't feel confident about it. He's going to see potentially some Jamel Dean, and Jamel Dean is a good corner, but my goodness, this guy bites on so many double moves. So I wouldn't be surprised if Moore got him for a long touchdown, but still, you don't have a lot of confidence in it. And then you have the running backs from Tampa Bay. Like, if I'm choosing one, it'd be Leonard Fournette, but if they get in a situation where they're not trailing, then Ronald Jones appears to be the better option. But again, if I'm especially on DraftKings, like Fournette's been the better pass catcher and more involved pass catcher, but like how do you play either of those guys at 5'5 or 5'3 when there's Mike Davis in the same game, when there's Duke Johnson, when there's Giovanni Bernard, who are going to get more guaranteed touches at the same price or cheaper?
Yeah, I mean, I think this game is really interesting. So, like, I know Carlton Davis, I think he returned to practice. I was hoping maybe they ruled him out because that would actually give me a little bit of interest on the Carolina side. Probably, like, even lead me to consider a Teddy Bridgewater in this game. I know the Buccaneers have been extremely good. They just got destroyed by the Saints. And a lot of this has to do with... this is exactly what I've been waiting for the whole damn season, to see somebody attack this defense the way that you should attack them, and that's via the slot, with tight ends, over the middle of the field. And everybody else has not been doing it. They've been like, we're just going to run 12 personnel, worry about the pass rush, and go against these ridiculously good outside corners. Which I'm like, why do you want to throw at Carlton Davis and Jamel Dean? Like, I don't get it. It doesn't make any freaking sense. And if Carlton Davis is banged up, or hell, if we get some kind of craziness,
yeah, Bruce Arians real quick said this afternoon that he expects him to play, but they have to wait and see how sore he is over the weekend. So
if he is out, dude, like Robbie Anderson is going to be a really strong play in this game. He gets a ton of targets. We know that week in and week out. He's not going to see a ton of Jamel Dean. I actually have some interest in Curtis Samuel here because, like I'm talking about, you attack this team via the slot. But, like, Sean Murphy Bunting is not good. He is not a good cornerback, like, any shape, form, or fashion. He has 40 targets in his coverage this year. He's allowed opposing receivers to catch 36 of them. 36 for 3 touchdowns. Like, why teams are shying away or not attacking this man weekly is beyond me. So I actually have some love for Curtis Samuel in the spot, as well as you see that Carolina has been involving Curtis Samuel more in the run game. Hell, the guy has had, over the last few weeks, 3 rushing attempts. 3, 1, 4, 2, 4, 4. Like, this team is using him, and I talked about this on our waiver wire episode, as a Deebo Samuel light. He's running out of the slot. They're giving him rushing attempts. If there's a reason, on top of everything else, matchup and stuff-wise, to worry about Mike Davis in some aspects, I think Curtis Samuel is the reason why you need to worry about him, because if somebody's going to cuck him at the goal line for some weird reason, it could be Curtis Samuel in this matchup. So if Carlton Davis is out, I think it does actually bring Teddy Bridgewater into play for me, and it's Teddy, it's Curtis Samuel, it's Robbie. I like your call on DJ Moore. I don't know if I want to attack Jamel Dean on the outside, although I do agree with you. He has been beat deep. in some games this year.
Dude, Slayton and Shepard should have absolutely torched him, but Daniel Jones.
Oh, yeah, you could put that on Daniel Jones, man. Like, him missing Slayton multiple times was absolutely terrible.
And that's what Slayton got. They both got him on a lot of double moves. Like, Jamel Dean, these corners are very aggressive. So, like, they'll jump to try to make plays on the ball and get picks. And, like, I think with that being said, like, do I project DJ Moore for more than, like, six targets? I don't know how you can right now. It would be nice to see them use him in the screen game more and stuff like that, but they have been using him as a deep receiver, and at 5,100, nobody's going to play DJ Moore. So, like, that's my call of the week. I think DJ Moore scores a long touchdown this game. The problem is he probably finishes with, like, 3 for 85 and a touchdown.
Yeah. On to Tampa's running backs, man. Like, I get the reasons of why to play Leonard Fournette, and the matchup is good. And, yes, he's getting more work on the ground and in the passing game than Ronald Jones. I just don't trust Bruce Arians, man. Like, I mean, look, we've seen him do wild things. We've seen him give run to Ronald Jones. We've seen him give run to Leonard Fournette. Tampa throws a ton in the red zone. So could, like versus the Giants, could both of these guys get a lot of work? Could both of these guys get touches? Could Leonard Fournette get a ton of touches and then all the touchdowns go to the passing game and none of those guys hit a ceiling? Like, if anybody tells you exactly that they have a lean on a Tampa receiver and they know where the targets are, and there's a guy they want to play, they're full of shit. Like, they're totally full of shit because we don't know where the targets are going to go, man. Like, they've been doing weird things. Brady is going to hit open man. There are probably going to be a ton of passing attempts in this game.
What do you think about running Brady by himself?
I don't play a quarterback's naked. I just don't.
Yeah, it's especially one that isn't gonna. Especially one that's not gonna run.
I want correlations, and if that even comes into possibly my thinking, like you're talking about, I want a guy that has legs and can run, and that's not Tom Brady. Like, not even if pass routes, that's not Tom Brady. Kyle, where do you stand here, man? I mean, any guys that for Tampa that are jumping out at you? And I'm sorry if I accidentally called you full of shit.
No, I completely agree. It's this situation is such a mess. Honestly, I thought it was a little bit of a mess even before Antonio Brown came onto the scene. Now adding him just makes it more of a mess. I'm surprised you guys don't think Tom Brady has rushing upside. Come on now.
He has fall into the end zone from the 1 yard line upside. We know that.
Yeah, I think it's funny when quarterbacks get older and older and they literally can't move in the pocket like Philip Rivers.
Did you see Rivers last night?
It's like they can't move at all. So it's kind of sad to watch him, you know, get older, but it's kind of funny at the same time where they literally have no movement. But yeah, I can't get to anything on this Tampa Bay side of things. I guess if I had to pick somebody, it would probably be Leonard Fournette because he could potentially be involved in the run and he will be involved in the pass, especially if the game, you know, turns into a game script where it would favor Fournette. You can't really expect that out of Jones. Sure, you can get like 20 carries out of Jones if they run away with this game and he's probably going to get the goal line work. But for PPR purposes and for drafting purposes, I'd rather bet on Leonard Fournette, but I don't want to do that. I think there's plenty of other options, like Adam mentioned, in that price range that I would rather do, and I can't get it to any of these receivers. Probably not playing Tom Brady. I do think the price on Tom Brady on DraftKings is very good, but again, when you're talking about tournaments and winning, you know, DFS tournaments, especially big ones, you need correlation in your lineups and you need ceilings to be, you know, intertwined. And it's really hard to do that with Tom Brady because even if Tom Brady throws four touchdowns, it could literally go anywhere.
And you go to four different players.
Exactly. It gets hectic really quick. So I'm pretty much off of the Tampa Bay side. And I think this is a spot where they could, you know, put up some points, so that kind of sucks. But again, when you're talking about production being narrow and condensed, that's just not the case for Tampa. I actually had a class two years ago with Sean Murphy Bunting, so I'll let him know.
Damn.
Bro, I'm gonna get roasted.
Bro, and this is
this isn't the first
time D-Bro's called Sean Murphy Bunting bad either.
I'm a big Sean Murphy Bunting fan because when I was a senior in college, I worked for the football team over there, and he was always really cool to the guys that worked for the team. So he's a really cool dude. So I'm going to have to defend Sean Murphy Bunting. He had a pick a couple weeks ago, and I was fist pumping. So, you know, D-Bro, I don't like that mess out of you.
This is a total twist. I wasn't expecting this to come up on the podcast. We did not talk about this before turning the mics on. So, I get that man as a family, okay? I'm not trashing him as a person. But as a football player, oh man, Didn't see that coming.
Nobody expects anyone out of CMU to be any good anyway, so he's definitely exceeding expectations as far as I'm concerned.
I'm going to move on here because I'm digging my grave even deeper right now, so I'm just going to put the shovel up. Before we hit on this next game, Adam and I brought this up on social media, kind of teased this thing out here. We have got to announce we are going to be doing another fantastic giveaway, and it has to do with this next game we're about to discuss. We are going to be giving away a signed mini helmet for Will Fuller. All you have to do, like previously, if you got entered to win, one, you're still entered for this contest for the Will Fuller signed mini helmet. But to get entered, if you're just now tuning in, hi, it takes literally 30 seconds of your life to get entered to win this amazing and beautiful helmet. You head over to @ChalkFade on Twitter. Then pull up iTunes and give us a rating and review. Screenshot said review and slide that into the DMs @ChalkFade on Twitter. And you're in it, man. You're in it to win it. We're going to give this thing away. As soon as we hit 200 reviews on iTunes, which we're, and last time I looked, we're around 110. So this is literally you versus 199 other people to win this beautiful helmet. You can't even get odds like that on small field contests on DraftKings, baby. So get over there, 30 seconds of your life, get in it to win this thing. So like we're talking about, Will Fuller time, man. Houston is heading to Cleveland. The over-under is set at 50.5. Cleveland is actually favored by 3.5 in this game. Kyle, what's your thoughts here, man? I mean, I know we've heard some weather concerns. I don't know if it's going to be another monsoon or if you have a really good lean. Put your meteorologist hat on for a second. What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, haven't looked into the weather too much. So I'm probably the wrong guy to go there, unfortunately. But I'm typically anti-weather in terms of DFS. You know, a lot of things can impact games, and I don't think weather is one that I want to worry about too much because that'll cause the public to overrate the weather and often bring ownership down, and that's stuff that I actually like. So I'll actually typically bet against weather or maybe bet that weather won't impact the game as much as some would assume and hope that you know, involves lower ownership in that game. So for me, I love the Texans in this spot. I think with no David Johnson, I think it's looking like he's probably not going to play, or I'm not even sure if he's been ruled out officially today. But with Duke Johnson assuming the roles as the starting running back, I think that this team is going to turn to an even more pass-heavy approach, which already they were pushing the limits there. They were throwing the ball a lot. I know we saw Duke Johnson get 16 carries last week, and I wouldn't be surprised if that number is around there again, but I also wouldn't be surprised if it's lower and if they're looking to pass more, if they're looking to get Duke Johnson involved more in the passing game. So I'm loving Deshaun Watson. I think he's far too cheap. His price went down. I think it was $100 from last week. I have him at 24 projected DraftKings points and still only 6% ownership. So I'm loving this side of things, and I'm liking this game in general. You know, with no OBJ, unfortunately, because he's one of my favorite players, I hate seeing him go down, but with no OBJ, that kind of indicates more things in the passing game going to Jarvis Landry, going to Austin Hooper. Gets a little bit less concerned with where the ball is going to go. So I like Hooper a lot on DraftKings at 3,900. I like Jarvis Landry on both sides, and I like this game in general. It's probably one of my favorite games that, you know, I think the total is maybe not necessarily one that I think is a smash for the over, because it's already fairly high at 50, but I think that it's a game that does have a fairly high total that nobody's really talking about, that a lot of ownership is not on. So I'm liking this game a ton. I really like the Houston side, and they're bringing it back with, you know, Jarvis Landry or Austin Hooper. The running back situation probably going to be a mess for Cleveland, so I'm probably just sticking with either Landry or Hooper, but really liking the Texans. And one of my favorite things to do in lineups so far on DraftKings only, I don't like to do this on FanDuel, but on DraftKings, stacking Watson with Duke Johnson and then picking one of the receivers, Cooks or Fuller. So I'm loving to do that this week.
Yeah, I mean, I like your calls on all of that. I mean, I've been in on Austin Hooper, waiting to play him. He's gotten in full practices this week. And for a Texans team that is 32nd against short passing this year, and people are like, oh, but the weather. Do you think Austin Hooper's getting like 40-yard targets down the field? Hell no. Baker is going to pepper him in the short and intermediate parts of the field. Texans are 25th against the tight end position, and Hooper's usage was trending up. In the 3 weeks before he went out due to appendicitis, The guy was behind only Travis Kelce and George Kittle in target share at 26% and weighted opportunity. So I think coming back here, like, DraftKings grossly mispriced him. And I get it because he had the injury or the ailment and he was out. And then they had to buy and stuff like that. But at 3,900, it's going to be really difficult. There are a few other tight ends on this slate, like we're talking about, that we like. But at 3,900, it's going to be difficult for me to get away from Austin Hooper in a lot of my builds, especially if I'm needing salary. I love your Landry call. I think that it sounds like, at least as of recording this, that Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt are both going to play. They get a boost because Wyatt Teller looks like he might be back this week. And the running back position, I just don't know. I don't have a good feel on which of the guys, or they're just going to split it down the middle. I think they're both in play, but are they going to make my single entry three max teams? No, probably only if I'm running like 20 lineups. Am I going to go the Cleveland route? Because nobody has a great feel on what that volume projection is going to look like. And yes, are they both in great smash spots? Like, if that got whittled down to one running back, I mean, they'd be a fantastic, fantastic play this week. But I also think that even if that was the case, Landry and Hooper are going to be good plays regardless. We know where the targets are going to go. And even if Baker throws the damn ball 25 times in this game, if we're talking about weather concerns, Jarvis Landry is going to get 8 to 10 targets. He had a 44% target share in the one game without Odell. Bradley Roby and Murray in the slot are not corners that you need to worry about at all. So I love the call, man. We know where the targets, we know where the ball is going to go when they do throw it. And yes, I mean, again, on the Houston side, we know where the ball is going to go. It's going to go to Will Fuller. It's going to go to Brandon Cooks. If you got Watson, those are the two pairing options along with, like you're talking about, with Duke. I think that he's in play. I'm not as high on Duke as you are, possibly, only because I look at this offensive line. They're not run blocking well. Cleveland has been good against the run. And I keep saying to myself in this spot, if David Johnson was priced at 5K, would I play him going against Cleveland? And my answer is no. I chased David Johnson for the last few weeks. I just don't know that Duke Johnson has a lot more success, even at this stage of his career, if he is a better running back than David Johnson, because Houston, like you're talking about, high neutral passing rates. They want to throw in the inside the red zone as well. And could Duke be more involved than even David Johnson was? I mean, sure, it's in play. I lean on the fact that this offensive line has not been great. And even if this was David Johnson, it's not a spot that I would be looking to really, really want to play him in this spot. But Adam, what do you think here, man? Any certain leans? Are you playing Duke here?
I might sprinkle him in. Because it's a really good point that you bring up about would I play David Johnson at this price? Probably not, but I think Duke has a little bit higher of a ceiling with how he might be used in this game. I think David Johnson's pass catching work, he had a couple receiving touchdowns, but other than that, like, he wasn't catching a ton of passes, where I think Duke could catch like 5-6 passes in this game. For me, like, they're not like core smash like priority plays for me, but Deshaun Watson and Brandon Cooks are just underpriced, in my opinion, especially Brandon Cooks. The guy's the wide receiver 8 in fantasy since Bill O'Brien was fired in week four, and he has had at least 9 targets in each of the last 4 games. And as awesome as Will Fuller's been, like, Brandon Cooks is still leading this team in targets. So I think at 5,600, like, he's just mispriced. And while Randall Cobb is going to primarily play in the slot, Cooks will move in there around 40% of the time. And we know Cleveland's been awful against slot receivers. So Brandon Cooks is my favorite player from this entire game. I just think he's way too cheap.
Why do they not want to price Brandon Cooks up? Like, oh, why? I don't know. Why can't this man go get above 6K?
Listen, if they're still barely pricing Keenan Allen up, then I don't think they'll be pricing Brandon Cooks up anytime soon.
That's a fair point, man. All right, so that is the 12 p.m. games for the main slate. Head over to FTNDaily.com. Get signed up with the promo code FTC to save 10%. You are not going to want to miss the rest of this main slate breakdown, as well as the three of us are going to walk through all the primetime games. So you're going to get the 7 p.m. game. You're going to get the Monday night game. So head over to FTNDaily.com. Check out all of Kyle's amazing work over there, as well as get signed up for this Will Fuller giveaway, man. It literally takes 30 seconds. So review the podcast, all those steps, rewind, go back, listen to that. Kyle, any of your work, your fantastic work, you got to plug before we get up out of here.
Yes, so every week at FCNDaily.com for NFL, I do a Murray's Model video breakdown where I pretty much, it's like an hour long of me just going through my model, talking about strategy and stuff that the numbers are showing me. Article every Saturday comes out. Friday night live stream with Derek, Pat, and Javi. Sunday morning live stream with myself, David, and Javi. So two live streams a week, a video, an article. I do all the projections and ownership projections over at FTN Daily. We put all of our exposures up as well, so you guys can see literally who we're playing in our 150 builds and all that stuff to get a really strong feel for where we're at in terms of guys that we like and all that stuff. So a lot of great content. And then, once again, got to bring basketball up again because we have a really awesome deal. We have the season-long package right now going for $179.99. That's our early bird price, which it's pretty much going to be the lowest it's ever going to be at that price. You're getting the entire year, 72 games, so no more restart where we only have, 30 games or whatever it was. We have the full season, 72 games, which isn't quite full, not the 82, but 72 games for $180. I think that's probably the best price you're going to see all year from us, and I think it's the best deal out of any DFS company that they're offering in terms of a basketball product. They do pretty much all the same stuff, player raters, projections, ownership, all that stuff for NBA as well. We have an amazing NBA content team that we put together in a matter of months and then rolled out for the restart, and we're looking to grow on that momentum and have a big year for kind of a full season for the first time. So please go check out that stuff, sign up, and make sure you guys are tuning into our premium edition for this podcast. I'm really pumped to talk about some exciting games, and Derek's got me tripping out because he's talking 12 noon games and I'm forgetting that he's from Texas, so the time zone difference, but now I'm on the same page now.
Yeah, man, that's central. Everybody talks in Eastern or Pacific in the FTN Slack on the daily, so time zones can be a mess. But yes, for all those reasons, our NBA team smashed. If you didn't miss all the green screens and all the tweets out there, I don't know what you're doing, man. Like, you got to be following at FTN Daily on Twitter. They are doing fantastic work. For all those reasons, you need to be heading over to the site. Get signed up. We will see you over there to break down all of the rest of these games for the Week 10. For Fade the Chalk, we are out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Fade the Chalk with Derek and Adam. Make sure to follow your hosts and the podcast on Twitter at @DBRO_FFB, at @APPfeiffer24, and at @ChalkFade. Smash that subscribe button so you don't miss an episode.